We come to a really interesting segment of the book of Psalms today in our series on Psalms with their backstories. This is not particularly about mothers, but hopefully the mothers will be able to enjoy this and derive something nice from it as well. But we're looking at Psalms chapters 75 and 76, and this is God's miraculous rescue of Hezekiah and the nation of Judah from the king of Assyria. Just know that Hezekiah is, after David and Solomon, the most talked about good king in the entire Bible. And he was the best ever king of the divided kingdom. He reigned 29 years and was eager in his fight against paganism. And he was a person who ruled with real integrity all of his life. Of all the events in Hezekiah's life, though, the most significant one is this rescue in about 701 BC when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked Judah and God miraculously saved the nation and the city of Jerusalem. This is so important that it's mentioned three times in the Bible, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah. It's a major Old Testament event. When Sennacherib attacked Jerusalem in 701, very few people would doubt that he had the ability to conquer it. It was clear that Sennacherib had done many, many exploits, and now this was about to be another one. He had, in fact, captured the ten northern tribes, the nation of Israel in the divided kingdom, 20 years earlier, and Sennacherib himself had now captured 46 walled cities in Judah. So he's marching through the nation of Judah, capturing everywhere. And now he has the city of Jerusalem surrounded. Just so you know, we are not telling fairy tales today. This really, really happened. Hezekiah is a real person, and all of this is well known in history. If you were to visit Jerusalem today, you might like to take a tour of Hezekiah's tunnel. This is a 1,740-foot long tunnel that snakes through the mountain, and workers hacked their way through from opposite ends and ended up in the same place. And to this day, if you wanted to, you can go through. It's got water in it. And the purpose of the tunnel was to be a conduit of water from the well outside the city walls to inside the city walls so that they would never run out of water when Sennacherib attacked them. And that was the whole purpose of the tunnel. And we know about this because of history, and tourists today walk through the tunnel. By the way, the water is very, very cold, and the ceiling height is usually only about 5 feet tall, so you have to hunker down. But anybody who wants to can walk through that tunnel today. The water is sometimes up to your knees and sometimes up to your waist, so it's pretty chilly. But anyway, there's a plaque that we found in the tunnel that has been carefully removed and is now at a museum in Istanbul. And it says on the plaque, "This is the story of the tunnel. While 3 cubits were left to cut, 4.5 feet more between the two ends, the voice of a man called to his counterpart on the other side of the rock. For there was a crack in the rock, and the stone cutters struck each man towards his counterpart, axe against axe, and flowed water from the source to the pool for 1,200 cubits. So we have that plaque to this day, so we know how it was done, we know who did it. Furthermore, we know about Sennacherib and Hezekiah from what's called the Lachish reliefs that have been part of our, you know, archaeology for some time now. Carved in about 690, so in other words, about 10 years after the event that we're reading about today, it says, "Sennacherib, king of the world, king of Assyria, set up a throne, and the spoils of Lachish passed before him." And in the picture, you see the wall. The wall has been removed now. It's at the British Museum. And these are the annals of Sennacherib carved in 690 BC, 690 years before Christ. And we know from the Bible that, you know, this is exactly what should be found on such annals, because 2 Chronicles 32:9 says, "Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem, but he himself laid siege against Lachish." Lachish is a city, one of the cities, 40-some cities, that he captured in Judah. So before he went to Jerusalem, he laid siege on Lachish, and he did indeed conquer Lachish. One more time, we have what's called the Taylor Prism. This also is from about 690 BC, so 10 years after the event we're talking about today. And you can see it's a cylinder. It's a cylinder about the size of a shoebox, 15 inches tall, 5 inches wide. And this cylinder has writing on it, and here's what it says, and this is just like our Bible story today. And by the way, no atheist in the world doubts that this is true. This is, you know, a historical artifact that is recognized by everyone. It's not fraudulent. It is authentic. It says on the cylinder, "As for the king of Judah, Hezekiah, So Hezekiah is a real person. As for the king of Judah, Hezekiah, who had not submitted to my authority, I besieged and captured 46 of his fortified cities, along with many smaller towns, taken in battle with my battering rams. I took as plunder 200,150 people, both small and great, male and female, along with a great number of animals, including horses, mules, donkeys, camels, oxen, and sheep. As for Hezekiah, I shut him up like a caged bird in his royal city of Jerusalem. I then constructed a series of fortresses around him, and I did not allow anyone to come out of the city gates. His towns, which I captured, I gave to the kings of Ashdod, Ekron, and Gaza. So this is a historical document, and nobody doubts the authenticity of this. So when we're looking at this today, we are looking at a true Bible story. This is real history, and it's extraordinary for that reason, among others. It is only natural, since this is a major Old Testament event, it's only natural then that there would be some Psalms about it. And today we come to Psalms 75 and 76, which are about this very thing. Psalm 75 and 76 are traditionally paired together as a set, and they are labeled together with the 76th Psalm being called a Song of the Assyrian. In many Old Testament Greek texts, this is the song of the Assyrian Sennacherib when he attacked Israel. We know they're paired together for other reasons as well. They are side by side in the book of Psalms, right? And they are both Psalms of Asaph, and they both talk about the wicked having their strength cut off. So they have a lot in common here. And the title of the 75th Psalm is so important. It says, "Do not destroy, do not destroy." Again, a reference to Sennacherib and anybody from any time and generation who might wish to hurt God's people. You can see that our story in 2 Kings, chapter 19, verse 35, sounds like this. "Came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." So a miraculous victory by God. God sent his angel, probably the pre-incarnate work of the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, and he struck dead 185,000 people. That's 2 Kings. Now the Psalms that we're looking at today, Psalm 76, "There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword. The stout-hearted are plundered. They have slept their sleep. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a deep sleep. The Lord said the word, and they just died, 185,000 of them." So that's the connection between the 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles and Isaiah text and these Psalms that we're looking at today. One more thing to notice is that they are both Asaph Psalms. In other words, they are written by Asaph's family. It's sort of like the Petty racing team, if you know anything about car racing. Well, there was Lee Petty and Richard Petty and Kyle Petty and the grandsons Petty, and it just became a family business. So did Psalms, became the Asaph family business. So Asaph, the original Asaph, appointed by David, lived 300 years earlier than these Psalms that we're looking at today. But he had sons, and the Asaph family carries on their tradition of psalmody. All right, so today I'm going to tell you a story. This time, we're taking it from 2 Kings 18:13. Here's how it sounds. "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." So he's in the nation of Judah, and he's winning. Verse 17, "And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great army against Jerusalem. And they came and stood by the aqueduct of the upper pool. And there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the king's household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said to them, 'Thus declares the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? You trust upon the staff Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it? So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all who trust on him. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, the Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it.' Rabshakeh said to them, 'Has my master not sent me to the men who sit on the wall so that they may eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you?'" Like, yikes. By the way, if you ever watch the survival shows, there's a lot of talk about drinking your own urine if you're ever out in the desert, so you might bear that in mind. Rabshakeh is actually a title, not a proper name. It'd be like calling somebody king. Well, king's not his name, it's a title, right? So Rabshakeh is a title. It means chief. And what's so interesting about this, the threats of Rabshakeh standing in for the king, Sennacherib, the threats sound an awful lot like the threats that come to us in the demonic voices that challenge us at all times in our lives. And you're going to see the connection here. Rabshakeh's words will sound a lot like the voices that sound loud and clear in your own heart when you're in a time of trouble, as Hezekiah and his people are in Jerusalem. First, you can see it's a loud and clear threat because verse 28 of chapter 18, 2 Kings 18, says, "Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice." It's very loud. The threats that you feel in your life right now, the things that scare you half to death, are very loud. You see in verse 25 that this voice often says, well, God is against you. And sometimes you'll think, maybe God is against me. God is trying to break me. That's what Rabshakeh said. In verse 25, he said, "It's the Lord who said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. The Lord told me to break you." That's not true, but that's what he said. These are the claims. And sometimes you will feel like maybe God is against you. That's what Satan wants you to feel. That's what Rabshakeh wanted Hezekiah to feel. And then you see that Rabshakeh goes right to the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is coming to you. And that's the devil's whisper to your heart a lot of times too. The worst case scenario is coming to you. You'll see. And so that's what we just read in verse 27. "Has my master not sent me so that they may eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? This is the worst case scenario. You can't possibly win. It's going to be so bad." And oftentimes in your heart, the devil whispers the worst case scenario, and it just needles you and needles you and needles you, and you're afraid of the worst case scenario. Rabshakeh said, "You may as well resign to your fate. You may as well just resign to it." And that's the voice you'll hear in your heart sometimes from the evil spirits that are all around you. "You may as well resign to your fate." Verse 31, "Make an agreement with me by a present. Come out here, surrender, be nice to me, give me money. Make an agreement with me by a present. And then, let every man eat from his own vine. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to attack you. You can go and eat your own grapes and drink from your own wells. You go back home until I come and take you away to a land, Assyria, like your own land, and you can live. So, why don't you just give up?" And you can imagine how many times this is the voice of the evil spirits in your world. "Why don't you just give up?" And then Rabshakeh says, "Everybody else has been broken. Why would you think you're not going to be broken? Everybody else has been broken." So in verse 33, "Have any of the gods of the nations delivered that land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" King of Assyria takes whatever nations he wants, and no god helps. Verse 34, "Have they delivered Samaria?" Samaria, of course, is very important because that's the capital of the 10 northern tribes. Your brothers in the 10 northern tribes of Israel, they're captive. Did anybody help them? And then verse 35, "Why should you think that the Lord would deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Everybody is broken. You may as well give up." And then one more grave threat. "You know, God won't be coming to help you this time. The thing that scares you half to death, you're not going to get help from God." So in verse 10, "Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. You've heard God say in His Bible certain things. Don't believe that. God is not going to help you. There is nobody who can deliver you from the great king of Assyria." And that's the threat that Hezekiah heard. That's probably approximately the threat you hear in your own heart at this very moment about the things that scare you. 2 Kings 19:3 has the reality of this coming through as Hezekiah is praying. And he says, "This day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy." Like, this is not implausible. What is being threatened is likely to happen. "So this is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth." You know, this is a woman dying in childbirth. It's time for the baby to be born. But she is too weak. She's too sick. She can't deliver the baby. And he says, that's what's happening in our world right now. We're at a critical time, and we can't win. That's what Hezekiah is praying. In chapter 19, verse 17, Hezekiah, in his prayer, tells the Lord, "Of a truth," it's just true. You know, this is reality. "Of a truth, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands." You know, this is not implausible. They've done it over and over again. And so we hear the demonic voice that scares us half to death. And we think, actually, That's plausible. It's likely. In such a loud and clear voice then that we hear in our hearts in any time of trouble, we hear the evil one say, God wants you to break. The worst case scenario is coming for you. Resign to your fate. Everyone else has been broken. God won't be coming to help you. It's futile to resist. And what does that sound like in our world? Maybe like this. Life is just too hard. You have every right to be cranky and cynical and despairing. Life is just too hard. You may as well just give up. Or how about this? I'm coming after your kids, says the evil one. I'm coming after your kids. And besides, I practically have them already, so you may as well give up. Or maybe the voice sounds like this. Your money's running out, you know. Skip family time and church involvement to make more money. Be a little more cutthroat in your business. And maybe overpromise. Or maybe it sounds like this. Your health isn't great, and it won't get better from here. Just rest. Let other people do the work. And so the threats and the things that scare us, and we don't know what to do, and that's what Hezekiah felt like that day. So to come back to our story in 2 Kings 18, verse 28, then Rabshakeh cried with a loud voice, thus declares the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Make an agreement with me by a present. Come out to me, and then let every man eat from his own vine, fig tree, and let everyone drink the waters of his well until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, so that you may live and not die. And do not listen to Hezekiah when he persuades you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Have any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand so that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Then Eliakim and Shebna and Joah came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Chapter 19. And when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim and Shebna and the elders of the priests to Isaiah the prophet. You know, we have some pretty heavy hitters, right? Hezekiah, the best ever king of the divided kingdom, in league with Isaiah, the prince of prophets. So here we go. We have two of them together. So he sent Eliakim, Shebna, and the elders of the priest, Isaiah, the prophet, and they said to him, thus declares Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God, Isaiah, will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria's master has sent to insult the living God, and he will reprimand the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer, Isaiah, for the remnant who are left. 46 cities have already been captured. Lift up your prayer for the remnant who are left. And Isaiah said to them, thus declares the Lord, do not be afraid of their words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against the king of Ethiopia, and he sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria, because I'm over here fighting with Ethiopia. Don't think anything has changed. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shall you be delivered? Verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, Assyrian messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed, O Lord God of Israel, who resides between the cherubs, you are the God, indeed you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, your eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, who has sent him to insult the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray you, save us out of his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even you alone. Then Isaiah sent word to Hezekiah, saying, thus declares the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin daughter of Zion has despised you and laughed at you to mock you. Those are big words. That's Isaiah speaking for the Lord. Tell this loudmouth king that the little girls in Jerusalem are laughing at you. Tell them that. The little girls think you're a funny man. Can you imagine? The little girls have heard that God is going to rescue Jerusalem. And this king comes along and says, I'm bigger than God. And the girls look at each other and smile. And they say, why would anybody think he's bigger than God? So thus says the Lord, thus declares the Lord. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you and laughed at you to mock you. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you. In social media now, we say shaking my head, right? SMH, shaking my head. That's what they're doing. They're shaking her head at you. Whom have you insulted and blasphemed? And against whom have you exalted your voice? Even against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers, you have insulted the Lord. And here's where Psalm 75 kicks in. And in the title of the psalm, to the chief musician, Al Tashith, which means, do not destroy, do not destroy. In some sense, that's Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem pleading from a human side, saying, King of Assyria, don't destroy, don't do it. From another sense, it's God saying, don't try it, don't try it, don't destroy. And we love that. Psalm 16:11 shows that we can trust in the Lord when things are really bad. You'll show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Lord is going to take care of us. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Don't destroy. From our perspective, please don't do that. From God's perspective, don't try it. From Psalm 27:10, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will pick me up. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Do not destroy. The enemy says, God wants you to break. The worst case scenario is coming for you. Resign to your fate. Everyone else has been broken, and God won't be coming this time. And that's false. When you hear that voice of Rabshakeh, that voice of the evil one whispering so loudly in your heart that you can't avoid hearing it, when you hear that, you have to say, no, it's not futile to resist in the name of the Lord. Life is indeed sometimes hard, but my ending is a happily ever after ending. You are indeed coming after my kids, but my prayers aren't finished yet. My money is indeed sometimes a problem, but family time and church time come first, and integrity comes first and foremost. My health indeed isn't great, but you know what? When I'm not strong enough to run for Jesus anymore, then I'm going to walk. And when I can't walk for Jesus anymore, I'm going to crawl. When I can't crawl for Jesus anymore, then I'm going to speak. And when I can't speak for Jesus anymore, then I'm still going to praise him and thank him in my heart. No, I will not stop resisting. I just don't believe Sennacherib. So the 75th Psalm. Unto you, O God, we give thanks. Al-Tashith, do not destroy. From our side, please don't bring all this trouble. From God's side, don't you try it. Of course, Sennacherib did try it. Verse 1 of Psalm 75, unto you, O God, we give thanks. We give thanks for this truth that your name is near, your wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, the Lord says, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants of it are dissolved. I hold up the pillars of it. I can stop this king. I can do everything that needs to be done. Verse 4, I, Asaph, said to the fools, do not deal foolishly. Rabshakeh, Sennacherib, don't do this. You who live in Jerusalem, don't give up. I said to the fools, do not deal foolishly, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. The horn is the animal's weapon, you know. Don't thrash your head around like you're something special. Do not lift up the horn. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For promotion does not come either from the east or the west or the south. It comes from God. God is the judge. He puts down one, sets up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It's full of mixture, judgment. And he pours out that judgment. But the dregs of it, the little grape peelings at the bottom, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. The judgment is absolutely consumed. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will be cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. You see in yellow font, we give thanks, for emphasis, repeated, we give thanks. And at the bottom of the text, I will sing praises. You don't have to believe what the evil one is telling you, and you shouldn't. So God says in his word to Sennacherib, I know your residence, I know where you live, and you're going out, I know when you leave. And you're coming in. I know when you get back. And I know your rage against me because your rage against me and your commotion has come into my ears. Therefore, I'll put my hook in your nose, my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way you came. And the remnant that has escaped through the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and those who escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus declares the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow, nor come up before it with shield, nor cast a ramp against it. By the way that he came, he shall return. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and remained at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer his sons struck him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his place. Now the 76th Psalm, to bring us to a conclusion. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. He just killed 185,000 soldiers in one night. In Salem, that's the ancient name for Jerusalem. You see, Salem is the last half of the word Jerusalem. The first half, Jeru, is city. So Salem is Shalom, peace, the city of peace. In Salem also is God's tabernacle, his dwelling places in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle. Selah, think about that. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Mountains where bad things happen because of wild animals and bandits and invaders. You're more glorious and excellent than that. The stout-hearted, like Sennacherib and Rabshakeh, are plundered. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men have found their hands. Like, I haven't found my sea legs. I can't fight. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep. You indeed are to be feared, and who may stand in your sight once you're angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God rose up to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Selah. Think about that. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. Everything that seems to be going wrong in your life, people mad at you, people messing up your life, that's the Lord's work in your life. And you're going to find, just like in Hezekiah's case and Calvary, when Jesus died for us, that was angry people doing angry things. And Joseph's life, angry people doing angry things. And even Paul's thorn in the flesh, evil spirits doing angry things. It all turns out for the better. The wrath of man shall praise you. And the remainder of the wrath, the stuff that wouldn't praise you, you hold it back and it never comes after all. Vow and pay to the Lord your God. You've made commitments to the Lord. Keep your commitments. He's worthy of your trust. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrifying to the kings of the earth. So here's our conclusion. The threats are loud and clear. I mean, we all feel them every day, right? We know. What the devil's co-workers say is not unlikely. It's not implausible. The world is bad. But we will definitely end up thanking the Lord, thanking him for whatever attacks come from Satan and his co-workers, because the wrath of man ends up being the praise of God. You'll see. You'll thank the Lord for how he's working your life someday. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. And we're also okay with all of this commotion because God definitely holds back every sort of outside attack that wouldn't be actively, actually beneficial to us. So 2 Kings 19:6 has the Lord saying, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. You know that voice that you've been thinking about while we talked today? Do not be afraid of those words. The way Jesus said it, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You follow Jesus, you could be okay.